everyone. This is Abby Bejo and welcome back to the Lake Health and Wellbeing Podcast. In this podcast, we aim to give you health news, views and interviews, but not all in one episode. Basically, in each episode, we focus on a different thing, whether it's news, whether it's interviews, whether it's views. So today we're focusing on news. And what I wanted to do with you today is just share with you three interesting health stories. And then from each of those stories, pick, not from each of those stories, but basically once we've gone through those health stories, to pick out an interesting theme that we can all learn from that kind of resonates or kind of is common throughout all of the different stories. So these stories, they come from three different fields. So there's public health partnerships, corporate social responsibility, and mental health. So let's start with the first news item. So the first news item, this is kind of like a public health partnerships news item. So back in February, the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB and Malaria announced their new partnership with Heineken. And we discussed this in episode one of our podcast. Now, this partnership between the Global Health Fund and Heineken raised a lot of eyebrows. And the reason why it did was because the mission and aims of these two organizations are so not aligned. I don't really understand how these two organizations could come together to form a partnership. And this is because the Global Fund, as its full name indicates, aims to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria. And we know through research that alcohol, which is Heineken's major product, increases a person's risk of developing TB. So like their aims and objectives were so not aligned. So it was a very, very strange partnership. And people were really puzzled all over the world why these two organizations would come together. I think we could probably guess why they've come together. Really, the Global Fund is looking really to expand its reach and its needs, resources and support and expertise. And Heineken can provide that. So that's basically why they've come together. But they've come together without considering that actually their aims and objectives are like at polar opposites. So basically, following this announcement, which actually I cover all this in episode one, lots of organizations just really started to speak out against this partnership, and they were kind of writing open letters and all sorts of things to try and get the Global Fund to reconsider the partnership. But boy, the Global Fund, they have backbone. They were standing up and saying, nope, this is a great partnership. We're not going to go back on this partnership. We're going to forge ahead and stuff. So I think on the 29th of March, I read an article which kind of surprised me because the Global Fund were like really adamant that they were not going to, they were just going to continue with this partnership. So on the 29th of March, the Global Fund announced that they're suspending their partnership with Heineken. Wow, that was like a complete shock. So what they said, and I'm going to read it because it's a very short statement. They didn't really elaborate. Well, they did elaborate, but they didn't really like go for a nice, long, glossy statement that a lot of these companies usually do when they make these kind of statements. They just kept it short, sweet, like they just didn't want to talk about it. So this is their statement. So the Global Fund today suspended its partnership with Heineken based on recent reports of the company's use of female beer promoters in ways that exposes them to sexual exploitation and health risks. We take these allegations very seriously and have challenged Heineken to examine their operations and make changes to protect women from sexual exploitation and health risks. We're suspending the partnership until such a time as Heineken can take appropriate action to address these issues. So that was their statement. And it was interesting because we're thinking they were so adamant that they weren't going to cease and desist with this partnership. So for them to come out and say they're going to suspend this partnership was quite a surprise. Anyway, to me, it was quite a surprise. I don't know about to anybody else. So I think just with the continuous pressure from public health organizations all around the world since they announced this partnership, so there's been a constant kind of campaign and pressure on them to stop this partnership. So I think that pressure, plus the fact that there's now news that, you know, there's been exposure of women to sexual exploitation and health risk by Heineken. And then recently, I don't know if you've heard, but Chance the Rapper spoke out against about a recent racist ad by Heineken. I think the Global Fund basically were just left with no choice and they just had to suspend this partnership because, you know, the evidence was mounting as to why they shouldn't really be in this partnership. And it was like, well, if you don't get out of this partnership now, it would just be a knock on their credibility. So they've stepped out of this partnership. So that was just one interesting piece of news. So that is that the Global Fund has suspended their partnership with Heineken. So that's news item one. So news item two, I have labeled this health conscious consumers. So I was reading an article on this website called Well and Good. I've actually never heard of Well and Good before. It just came up on my Twitter feed and it just sounded, it was like an interesting title. So I clicked on it, caught my eye. And they were basically explaining that consumers are becoming more health conscious, which I guess, you know, we all know that already. But not only are they becoming more health conscious, they're becoming more demanding and they're expecting a lot from companies. So I guess if we look back and remember back in the day when companies were pressured into going green and being more environmentally friendly and people were saying, please provide products that are kinder to the environment, consumers are now kind of demanding the same from companies with regard to health. So what this article was saying that is that, you know, companies are now, companies are now kind of bowing to that pressure and they're making healthier options available to their customers. Because I think where what people are thinking is that, you know, from food and industry, food and drinks industry, obviously they have a lot to play in the type of foods that we eat and the type of foods that are available. And one of the concerns or the complaints is that there are not enough healthy options out there. So people seem to be forced to eat unhealthy foods. So companies have bowed down to this pressure. So you have companies like PepsiCo, General Mills, KFC, McDonald's, Subway, and a range of many restaurants that now offer healthier options. So some restaurants are offering lower salt, lower fat options, and that kind of thing. And this whole kind of move to demand like better from companies has created like this kind of desire from customers to only buy environmentally friendly, healthy products, and they're only going to support companies who give back. So this is kind of the gist of the article. And then they mentioned, which I hadn't really heard before, was that that what's happened now is to help customers identify companies doing good to society, they created a new certification for customers, very similar to Fair Trade, called Certified B Corporations. And these are companies that have met very rigorous standards of social and environmental performance, accountability, and transparency. I just thought this was an interesting article because it kind of just shows that actually we can bring about change really just by stepping up and demanding better of companies and better of people. So I thought that was a really interesting article. A final article that I thought was really interesting is a mental health article. And I think with mental health, it's an interesting one. I think people find it really difficult to support someone who has a mental health condition. I think, you know, we come across people or we know people that are, you know, either depressed or not even like hugely affected by like a mental health condition. Like they don't have a very serious one. They might just be going through a rough period. And I think people find it really hard to find the right words to say, and they find it really hard to understand what's the most appropriate gesture. And so we can feel a bit helpless and at times not maybe just glaze over and not actually do anything when we come across a friend or a family member that is suffering from some kind of mental health condition. So this is why this article that I'm about to just quickly summarize really stood out for me. And I think a lot of people actually have read this article. And it was about the three Black British schoolboys who are going to be soon receiving a National Service Award for the role they played in helping save the life of a man who was about to commit suicide by jumping off a bridge. And I just thought these three little boys, teenagers, they were 13, 14 years old, to me exemplified what the kind of things that we should be doing. We should be trying to be more community-based and more concerned and not interfering, but intervening in people's lives and trying to have a positive impact on people's lives. And I think they said the simplest thing to this man, very simple. You know, you've got family, it's not worth it. They didn't think of anything deep and meaningful and not wordy to say. They just said the first thing that came to their mind. Not that that stopped him from wanting to commit suicide, but at least it probably gave the man something to think about. But I think they held him and then somebody else came to help and that held the guy. And then the police came. And anyway, so I guess that's quite an extreme case. And probably, you know, most people would do something in this situation to help someone. If they literally saw somebody about to jump off a bridge, I'm pretty sure that most people would intervene and stop and help. But it just got me thinking that, you know, there are situations where that are a little bit more not as obvious and not as in your face as that. So you might be somebody at work, might be going through a hard time, or you notice that someone looks a bit down, do we stop and intervene? Do we stop and ask that person how are they doing? And I just think that kind of got me thinking about the fact that I think we could all do more to support those who have a mental health condition. We don't have to feel, we don't have, start counseling somebody, even if it's just referring somebody to a counselor or for more support. But just small gestures, small offers of help, when we know that people are going through a hard time. And I think if that there were more people kind of concerned about their neighbor, concerned about how people are feeling, then we wouldn't get to the point where we have people wanting to commit suicide. So that's the third article that I just thought was interesting. What I want to do is to find a theme that connects all of these stories. And as I was reading through these stories, the one key theme that kept propping up was the fact that we all have a voice and our voice can really affect change. So in each of these stories, what you found was that people raised their voice, they spoke out, and they were able to make a difference. They were able to make a difference in the behavior of individuals, in the behavior of businesses, and in the behavior of charities. And I think this is so important because we're in a time where it feels very negative and people are feeling quite disillusioned, me included. And it takes stories like these just to remind us that actually we can make a difference and that things can become better. So in the field of public health, it is particularly important that we do raise our voice because we can make a significant difference in improving the health and well-being of our community, which is so important. If we don't have a healthy community, we really don't have a strong community. And so I think, again, I would just encourage people who are working in the health field really to not give up, to keep on going, and to know that your voice does matter and that we can all work together to make a significant difference, particularly into the health of the Black community, where at the moment it does feel quite negative. And I think just by each of us making a contribution, by sharing our opinions, sharing our approaches on how we want to tackle some of these health issues, we can really make a difference. So each and every one of us matters. Our voice does matter. So that is it. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this podcast. I hope you found it interesting. I hope you found the idea of three stories, one theme to be quite an interesting one. So thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Take care, everybody, and have a great rest of the week. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of our podcast. Here are just a few additional news items that we thought you might find interesting. Firstly, the Healthy Caribbean Coalition have launched their Childhood Obesity Prevention Petition. The aim of this petition is to raise awareness of childhood obesity in the Caribbean, which is a major, major problem. With one in three children in the Caribbean being overweight or obese, urgent action is needed. So this petition aims to raise awareness of this issue, but also aims to influence leaders to champion and implement policies that will improve the health of our children. You can make a difference, and improve our children's health by signing this petition. Simply go to healthycaribbean.org/yourvoicematters and sign the petition by filling in just two simple boxes, and then you're good to go. The second piece of news is that on April the 18th at 7 p.m. GMT, we'll be in conversation with Lanice Brothers via a Twitter chat. Lanice is a nutrition and well-being coach for women who struggle with low energy, sugar cravings, and hormonal issues such as fibroids. And we'll be having a really interesting discussion with Lanice on the topic of fibroids, hormones, and nutrition. So, if you have an interest in fibroids or you yourself have fibroids, this could be the Twitter chat for you. Piece of news is that we have recently launched a fibroids and exercise fact sheet. This fact sheet is aimed at women with fibroids and aims to provide information on the benefits of exercise in improving the symptoms of fibroids. It also provides tips on how you can get started with exercise without aggravating your current symptoms. So if you're interested in downloading this fact sheet, please do go visit our website. Go to the Learning Zone. Under the Learning Zone, you then navigate to the Fibroids section, and then under the Fibroids section, navigate to Fibroids Publications, and under there, you'll be able to download our Fibroids and Exercise Fact Sheet. So thanks so much for listening. Those were just a few pieces of information that we thought might be of interest. Take care and speak to you next week. Bye.